President Trump wants next week's midterm elections to be about him. In fact, he has said as much.
And I'm not on the ticket, but I am on the ticket because this is also a referendum about me.
But this is also a vote about you. At the end of the day, politics is personal, and that's what we've called our series this week. We've been traveling to see how some of the biggest stories of the last couple years have played out in communities and in lives, and how those stories could sway votes. Yesterday, we visited a town that was hit by steel tariffs, and today, and I should warn you, you're going to hear some language that may offend you, we are entering the culture wars.
You have to stand proudly for the national anthem.
They have to respect our flag, and they have to respect our country.
Get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired!
Those protests during the national anthem have been discussed and debated at dinner tables, in churches, in office lunchrooms, at bars. But all of that was from the sidelines. The community we are visiting today lived it.
Who would ever think somebody would even care what happened on a field down in Texas, a football field? Obviously, a lot of people.
This is Ronnie Mitchum. He runs a roadside church in Crosby, a town outside Houston. His passions include God, country, and football.
I love football, love coaching. I had a coach who taught me as a young man, as a Christian, you know, how important football can be used to help teach Christianity, purpose, desire, respect, and commitment.
And Mitchum's been teaching those things for the last 6 years. He coached the Sharks, a team for homeschooled students. The team was small but proud.
So until last year, everything was really good.
Last year, it was the height of the NFL protests, and Mitchum had warned his players that if they wanted to protest, they could do it any time, just not during the national anthem at their games.
You know, the issue with the kneeling is that it's disrespectful to those men and women who serve. First of all, disrespectful to your country, because you live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. You're blessed already to be born an American, so you've got a blessing. I said, then you're looking at these men who have died and give everything for you and sacrificed. They didn't have a life. They were 18 years old, just like some of you, and they died on a beach somewhere, never had the privilege to have a wife or kid or family. Also, because it seemed to be about color to some extent and race, I said that, you know, there were white men who fought for the flag, who fought the free slaves. So when everybody wants to get you in this debate, understand there were men who died who were white to free slaves. So, you know, we're not going to do this.
But two of Mitchum's players, both African-American, defied him. As the national anthem was playing before a game, Mitchum peered over and he saw one of his players kneeling and another with his fist in the air.
You know, it was probably one of the, I know to other people it doesn't seem much, but to me it was just one of the hardest moments of my life. It broke my heart that they did that because I thought we had an agreement.
Mitchum acted immediately. He kicked the two players off the team right there before the game. One of their moms, Rhonda Brady, told ABC 13 in Houston that she was appalled.
He has like a slave master mentality. You know, if you were to go back to that when, you know, they wanted to tell us this is what you're going to do and this is how you do it. And if we didn't comply, then we were beating, whooped, or even possibly killed.
Tonight, reaction from the community divided.
I told the whole team exactly what would happen if they did kneel. They knew the rules.
Let me ask you a couple of difficult questions about this. You said that you have taught these young men respect and that that's so important to you. These two players have talked about that they wanted to join a movement to speak out about how African-Americans are treated in this country. Wouldn't it be the ultimate show of respect to them for you to put your personal views about flag and country, as strong as they are, aside to let them do something that is so important to them?
Not when it comes to disrespect to my country, no. I find it offensive. I love those two boys, but if they loved me in return and showed respect, I have rules. Believe me, I've laid in bed at night because I love them boys. I'm the one that's cried the tears because of all the hate mail and the bitterness and the misunderstanding.
Yeah, the backlash has been intense. Someone even fired a bullet through the sign at Mitchum's church. His players were scared to sign up for another season, and he suspended the football program. We know how important football is to him, but not as important as country and God. Those are things he is ready to fight to protect, and he sees President Trump doing the same thing.
I believe that a lot of what people don't realize is that as Christians, we see the globalist and we see President Trump as a nationalist. I'm a nationalist because I believe in my country.
I'm just wondering if you have a bullet hole in your church sign because this issue has become so prominent in the national political conversation.
No, I think it's just a sign of the times. I think a country can only reject God so long until they begin to start falling apart at the seams.
Things are going to change. They're going to change. They have no choice.
A single highway divides Mitchum's town of Crosby, which is largely white, and the town of Barrett, Texas, which is largely black. And that is where we met John Barrett, the great-grandson of the freed slave who founded this community.
Right there are those roses.
John Barrett maintains the original family estate, the cemetery, as well as the long fight against injustice. We came to visit him because we had seen his Facebook post supporting Colin Kaepernick, though Barrett thinks the quarterback could have done even more.
To be completely honest about it, I have an issue with him taking a knee. The knee is submissive. There's nothing submissive about this. He should stand with his fist in the air.
Like Barrett said people did during the Civil Rights Movement. Barrett has lived through angry, divisive times, but he says none quite like this.
I'm 50 plus. I've never seen candidates for public office publicly make statements that are teetering on the lines of racism. And it's okay to do.
In other words, Barrett sees our country in a moment, just like Ronnie Mitchum, who said this can't go on. These men have many differences, but both are looking to the same man to do something right now. John Barrett said there's potential for this moment to be history-making. The history-making, I mean, you're saying this had to happen.
Yes.
And are you saying that racism that still exists in our country needed to be exposed?
And our president couldn't have done a better job. I commend him for it. He pulled the cover off of all of it. I thank him.
Why do you thank him?
He exposed it.
Why did it need to be exposed?
People of color have been saying they've been mistreated for years. And people dismiss it. Oh, you're pulling the race card. Oh, that's really not happening. Oh, this, oh, that. Well, it did.
So is 2 years enough and now it's time to move on to the next phase of what you're talking about? Or do you want Trump to keep?
No, I don't want the stirring to continue at all. Now that he's done it and shown it, he needs to become a uniter.
Do you see that happening?
He could do it.
Do you see Donald Trump doing it?
I would like for him to do it. That would be a wonderful thing. I would love to see him become a uniter now. He's shown us, now fix us. Ultimately, he can bring us together. He can be inclusive. He can fix this.
And if you see Trump doing the kinds of things you're talking about in the next 2 years, could you see supporting him in?
Sure.
What if you're wrong?
You mean what if he's a blatant racist?
Sure.
What if he's truly a blatant racist? He says he's not. But then they all do. But at the same time, God will deal with him, won't he? He'll be dealt with by God.
You really can't visit Texas during football season without actually spending a Friday night right here. I was in the stands at a high school game with India Landry.
So, if you don't live in Texas, Friday Night Lights is like such a cool thing to imagine, being here on like a beautiful Friday night at a football stadium in Texas.
Yes, it is.
If you live in Texas, is it like a cool thing too?
Yeah.
What's special about it?
It's where everybody meets up at all at once.
India, who's 18 years old, was wearing a fresh pair of Nikes and a Colin Kaepernick jersey, honoring the athlete who inspired her recent protest. It was at her high school one morning. As the class rose to say the Pledge of Allegiance, India stayed in her seat. She was sent to the principal's office, where she says a secretary looked at her and said, "This isn't the NFL." India was sent home. Her mom has since sued the school district, and she has taken India out of school for now. Still, India told me at the game that night that she has no regrets.
So no one kneeled tonight. What do you think of that?
I would kneel.
You would kneel
mm-hmm.
if you were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you disappointed if none of them knew?
Disappointed? No, I just wish they had a better understanding of it.
What do you mean?
Meaning, a lot of them don't know that what they're standing for is for injustice, actually.
Do you feel a connection to football players who...
Who knew?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. It's basically what I'm doing, but in a classroom.
Whatever history is made or not in this political moment, India Landry will be making history of her own this Tuesday. She'll be coming off the sidelines to vote for the very first time.
I remember being younger, I'm like, I wish I could vote, and now I'm able to. Matters most now, probably more than ever.